Connell McShane joins us now, the anchor at News Nation. He's on mid-afternoons, 2 to 4 our time on Comcast, 223, DirecTV and Dish as well. Hi, Connell.
Hey, John.
You in? Where are you today? Are you in the Capitol or New York?
I'm in New York. I was only in Washington for the show on Monday for our inauguration special. So I'm in New York, but I'm watching the Trump show, week one, on television right now. The president's in Asheville, North Carolina. So,
you know, I've said to myself and I've said to this radio audience, if you are a fan or not of Trump and the new administration, the challenge for all of us is to figure out which is signaling and a distraction. He's just saying stuff. And which is something you really need to pay attention to. I would even put birthright citizenship in that's signaling that we don't want any more migrants or illegal migrants here, and we want a lot of them out. But everybody knows the 14th Amendment is solid. Would you put that in the distraction signaling category, or do you think that's serious talk?
Couldn't agree more with you, and I don't think the president, no matter what he says, was surprised by a federal judge striking that down, because every single lawyer we talked to, Republican, Democrat, Independent, middle of the road, whatever it was, said that there was no legal basis for that executive order and it would be struck down in the courts. I'm sure the president knew that, but that's not always, to your point, his intention when he does something. So, yeah, it's a challenge. I mean, I'll give you – that's a great example, by the way. I would give you another example. We were just talking about it this morning with some of our producers. Somebody sent out the headline that a member of Congress, who I don't think I've ever heard of, is trying to introduce an amendment where Trump could essentially serve another term if you don't serve two consecutive terms, right?
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh that loud. Go ahead.
Well, no, it's fine, but the question was certainly like, what should we do with this? And my answer was nothing. You know, unless there's some sort of a sign that there's two-thirds of the House and two-thirds of the Senate that are going to move forward with this, then there's not going to be any constitutional amendment. So the answer is nothing. So, like, you know, we can't get distracted by every little thing and debate every little thing. Oh, my goodness, do you see this? He's taking over. He's going to be a dictator for life or some such thing. I mean, just there's a lot to talk about, a lot of real news going on. So, I agree. It's the challenge. We're not going to get it right, but we should have learned some lessons from the first time around.
Yeah, we have been to this rodeo before. And,
exactly.
You know, witness, for instance, the visit to the church, the bishop telling the president to be merciful, him not being happy with that. And now a member of Congress has suggested that she should be deported, which would then put her on a plane to New Jersey, but whatever. So I'm not saying this will be easy to do, but that, I think, is the task at hand. What do you need to pay attention to and what do you not?
Agreed. I mean, even today, these trips that the president's making to North Carolina and to California, there are important conversations to be had. And I don't think, and one of the mistakes I think we've made in the past as members of the media is because of the style that the president has, or because of other comments he's made on other subjects, which should be called out and he should be held to account, that then when he makes or proposes something else, it's immediately dismissed as, oh, what's that? That's silly. Example, today, he's talking about FEMA. Now, a lot of people, and he said something to the effect a few minutes ago, I was just watching him in Asheville, that I'm going to consider getting rid of FEMA. Now, if you just stop at that, there are going to be a lot of people say, what are you talking about? That's crazy. But then if you listen to what he actually says, he wants to have this discussion about whether it would be more efficient to still send federal funds to areas that have been hit by disasters, but rather than going through a federal agency, give that money directly to the states. Now, is that a good idea? I don't know, but it's an idea, maybe one that could be discussed, and some people will probably say, well, you know what, that would work in our state because we have a great system set up for emergency management. We'd love to have the extra funds. We know how to manage it locally. Another state, you might observe and say, boy, that would be a disaster in this state,
right?
Because they don't know what to do. So, but the point is, there is a discussion to be had there once you get past, you know, the way it's presented, I think, on a lot of issues.
I think that's an interesting point. I think a lot of us, when we stop and think about it, realize that filtering tax dollars through federal agencies to return back to state and local governments is inefficient. It supports a lot of jobs. It in essence supports programs, but money gets filtered and diminished along the way. So, okay, maybe find a more palatable way to present that. But again, that may be both signaling and something serious. I'll tell you something else that has people on both sides of the aisle cheering, angry, and scratching their heads were these pardons that Joe Biden issued on his way out the door, like literally 20 minutes before his presidency ended. He was still issuing them. And then that opened the gates, maybe, for Donald Trump to pretty much, well, in fact, pardon everybody January 6th, including the Proud Boys.
Yeah, there was a report from Mark Caputo, who comes on our show, he works at Axios now, who said that Trump, when he was being asked about that, said something to the effect, using an expletive, you know, forget it, let's just pardon all of them, you know. Whereas earlier, remember, J.D. Vance was on television, you know, 10 days before the inauguration, give or take, saying that, well, of course, if someone committed a violent offense, they shouldn't be pardoned. Well, those people were pardoned, and the others had their sentence commuted. Now, I'm not sure. We will never know for sure. I'm not sure that the Biden pardons, as you know, it's tough to kind of articulate a defense for what Biden did on the way out. That's why he did it on the way out, like any president does, because they don't want to deal with it. So they said, well, this is what I'm going to do. I know this is somewhat indefensible, but I'm worried about my family. I know it's maybe wrong to do this. I'm not going to say that, of course, but I'm doing it anyway. I'm not sure if Trump looked at that and said, well, I'm going further than I planned to go on the pardons. I doubt it. I think he probably would have done it anyway. But to your point, it's a little bit easier for him to have a defense, I suppose. I mean, I think we can do both. I think you can be critical of Biden and critical of Trump on those pardons, and you know, both can be true at once. I mean, I think you can do both stories. So that's how I would approach it anyway, is that, you know, you can ask critical questions of the Trump pardons, especially violent offenders, and you can also be critical of the Biden pardons. Both can be true.
I would have liked to have seen Liz Cheney suffer the consequences of her actions without a pardon, because I like her chances. I think it would blow up in the face of people that did try to prosecute her. Joe Biden also pardoned a person who killed a couple of FBI agents many, many years ago. That sort of got lost in the swell of stories about the J6 committee, et cetera, and members of his own family. I just think it's a big FU to the justice system and the American people when on the way out the door you do that, which is to say nothing about how offensive it is that the January 6th people got and I'm talking about the insurrectionists, got a blanket pardon. What executive orders are most telling or important to you, Connell? What would you say we should be paying attention to?
Well, I think a lot of what he's doing on immigration is just trying to get a measure of how much has actually happened, what's actually different. The move to get rid of that app seemed to have a measurable effect, of the CBP One app, where people can make appointments if they're for asylum when they're crossing, because we were looking at some of the data that the Customs and Border Patrol and other agencies were putting out, and there was an immediate move down, daily numbers, but still.
It was effective. It was effective. That app,
yeah,
for those of you who don't remember, the Biden administration said, let's issue an app, which sounds so, you know, technological and small, right? I mean, an app is going to solve this problem. Are you kidding me? It actually lowered the numbers of people who were waiting in a queue to get their chance to come in legally. Go ahead.
Yeah, and now the Trump getting rid of that app, the number of just encounters being reported is down. And the numbers across the board, I had the Obama's former Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson on the show yesterday, and he made an interesting point about all of this, saying that this happened, he said, the first time Trump came in as well, you know, encouraging us to kind of wait a while and look at the numbers, you know, a year from now or so, is that the numbers at the border on encounters went down initially. And, you know, some of that, well, quite frankly, I think has to do with Trump's talk. That's why he does a lot of it, just getting out.
Yeah.
People say, well, hold on a second. This guy's in here. I'm not going in. And then Johnson was saying that after a certain amount of time, they went back to kind of historical norms. So that'll be the challenge. I think Trump's doing what he said he would do. I mean, remember, that's why people that supported him are so happy about this first week.
Yeah.
And it's having, to some extent, the intended effect on the border. The longer-term story will be, do you go back to historical norms, or does he create a new historical norm? We'll see.
That's something to pay attention to. Connell McShane, the anchor at News Nation. 2 to 4 this afternoon, Comcast 223, Dish 307, Dish Network 207, Direct 307, Dish Network 207. Okay, Connell, thanks for your time today.
Thank you, John.